History is his story. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Wayne Keller, and that was Steve Brown. Life isn't a dress rehearsal, and that's why this program, Key Life, is around. Honest, practical, and street-smart Bible teaching for the business of living.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope your pastor's sermon was as beneficial to you as my pastor's sermon was to me, and your time of celebration at your church was as celebratory as was my time of worship. If you have your Bible, and guess what? We're finally, after weeks and weeks and weeks, I think it was right after the Noahic flood that we broke from our Old Testament survey, and then we spent a number of weeks talking about when your rope breaks, pain and suffering in God, and now we're returning, having set aside our Old Testament survey, to that Old Testament survey. And if you've got a Bible, you might want to open it to the book of Jeremiah as we continue where we left off so many weeks before. Before we turn to my friend Jeremiah, let's go before the throne. Father, we're glad that we belong to you. We're glad for the circumstances in our lives. No, Father, that's not true. Some of the circumstances we're not so happy about. But we know you, and we know you're sovereign, and we know that you've told us to praise you in every circumstance, and that means that you're in charge of all of them. And from every circumstance of our life, you will bring out glory and honor to yourself and good for us. And so when we come to you by faith, we praise you and thank you for the circumstances of our lives. But Father, it's scary sometimes. Sometimes it's lonely, and sometimes the wounds are deep, and sometimes we're so ashamed with our sin, and sometimes when we come into your light, our darkness even harder to bear. And so we're here. We're not here because we're good or together or smart, but because we're yours. Meet us in this place. Father, heal us and change us and forgive us. Make us different. Motivate us. Keep us close to you. Father, we praise you and we worship you because you're God and you're worthy of our praise and worship. And then, Father, we lift before you this week of broadcast. We pray for the one who teaches, forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, in our Old Testament survey, we're up to the book of Jeremiah. In case you've forgotten, we're not doing a verse-by-verse, line-upon-line, precept-upon-precept study of each of the books of the Old Testament. What I'm doing as your tour director is to take you through the Old Testament. I'll introduce each book, and we have introduced all the books up to Jeremiah. Then I'll give you some handles that will help you understand the book. And then on our tour, I'll pick out some particular places in every book that we study and show you those sites, and we'll discuss those and then move on to the next book. As I said, we're up to the book of Jeremiah, but before we turn to that book, I want to take some time to give you a mini lesson in history about the situation into which God thrust the prophet Jeremiah. Now, history is important because history is his story. Now, I want you to take that. It's going to be dull, and I know it, so pinch yourself and stay awake because it's really important. The prophet Jeremiah began his ministry around 627 B.C. when the last great and good king of Judah, Josiah, was on the throne. Now, Jeremiah's ministry began some 5 or 6 years after the great revival in Judah, occasioned by the finding of the lost copy of the law as they were working on the temple. And God brought an amazing restoration and revival to his people. You read those books that tell us that we've got to have a revival in America, and if we do it, these are the things that we've got to do, and if we do those things, that God will bring revival. Don't you believe it? Sometimes he will, and sometimes he won't. most of the time, God, in His time and in His place and in His way, pours out His Spirit on His people. And He always does it just in time. And when He does it, you know it. At any rate, there was a great revival that was occasioned when God's people realized what God had said and repented. Now, in 627 B.C., there were three great powers in the world. Or perhaps, as you said, there were two and a half great powers in the world. Now, let me tell you about those powers. First, there was Egypt. Egypt, as you know, had been a great power. Some 4,300 years before the birth of Christ, the Egyptian peoples formed two states, Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. Upper in the Nile Valley and Lower in the Lower Valley and the Delta. And historically, with some exceptions, these two people formed one nation. Egypt was ruled by dynasties, and there were 26 dynasties. The last dynasty ruled after the Ethiopian dynasty, and this dynasty ruled somewhere between 663 and 525 B.C. And during that dynasty, there was a revival of military power and an attempt to reconquer all of Egypt's former possessions in Asia. This dynasty failed in that attempt. Now, I know, but stay with me. Increasingly, the Egyptians could not stand against the armies and the culture of the Babylonians, the Persians, and finally the Greeks. And by the 5th century, Egypt had passed from the scene as a world ruler. Now let me show you another power, Assyria. Coming out of Mesopotamia was a new thing on the face of the earth, a purely military culture, and this culture was the feared and hated Assyrians. In their capital of Nineveh flowed all of the wealth of the world that had been captured in the great military campaign of their kings. In a fairly recently discovered document, the king of Assyria, Ashur, writes the following that will give us some idea, a little bit of an idea, of the might and the cruelty of the Assyrians. Listen to this. I, Asher, captured, destroyed, devastated, burned with fire, cities great and small, which were without number. I brought forth people, horses, asses, cattle, and sheep from within those cities and counted them as spoil. And then, speaking of a king who had defiled him, on the street of his city they cast his corpse and left his body lie. With my weapons I struck down his brother, his family, and the members of his father's house. This is not a nice person. Now, for some 200 years prior to the ministry of Jeremiah, Assyria had been the dominant power in the world. In 722 B.C., Sargon II, the king of Assyria, conquered Samaria. And then, stay with me, 701 B.C., Sennacherib, Sargon's son, invaded Judah. Now we're getting into it, and instilled the fear of God, at least for a time, in the southern kingdom. By the time of Jeremiah, the power of Assyria was on the wane, but the dragon's tail was still swishing. In 612 Nineveh, Assyria's capital, the kingdom disintegrated. Now, during the time of Jeremiah, Babylonia was the world's greatest power, while for a brief time, Egypt made an effort to take the place of Babylonia, never was quite successful. But the interesting thing about Babylonia, and you won't believe this from the accounts, the Babylonians were the opposite of Assyria. They were not by nature militaristic. Babylon was called the city of pleasure. I mean, they'd rather party than fight. In 586 B.C., and this was prophesied by Jeremiah, we're going to see that a little bit later on, Nebuchadnezzar, for the third time, invaded Judah, and the final exile of God's people took place. And then later, but that's another story, the Persians conquered Babylonia. Now, the reason I'm taking so much time to go into a little of the historical background of the book of Jeremiah is because you can't understand what's going on unless you understand what's going on historically. Jeremiah prophesied during the reign of five different kings. He was the prophet who had come during the reign of the last great, as I mentioned, good king, Josiah. During the next four, he watched the kingdom of Judah gradually deteriorate until there was nothing left. Now, Jeremiah is not a book you want to read for your evening devotions, because it'll keep you up at night. Now, there are a number of reasons for that, and we're gonna see some of those reasons as we go along. But Jeremiah was a prophet of judgment and warning. Now, this was the theme, and the theme that you'll find running throughout the book. Some of the leaders of Judah wanted to ally themselves with Egypt against Assyria and finally Babylonia. Was that a good idea? Of course not. Egypt was already in trouble, and Jeremiah said so. Other of the leaders said, you guys are crazy. Babylonia is wiping everybody out, and it is already the fourth quarter. Let's ally ourselves against Egypt and Assyria by being friends with the Babylonians. Jeremiah's message, and you've got to remember this as you go throughout Jeremiah, pox on both of your houses, ally yourself with your God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is great wisdom in that as we go through the stuff we're going through in America today. God is God. Use the missiles, but trust in Him. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our winter magazine, I'd love to send it to you. I wrote a couple of articles, Our God Reigns and Crosses and Crowns. Magazine includes a question and answer column, my itinerary, lots of neat stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. I'll send it to you free as long as supplies last. Just let us know. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. Ask for the magazine, I'll send it to you free. I really mean that. But if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it, and I really mean that too. This is a pretty expensive ministry. When you help us, you help so many others. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. If you can help us, include it in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching, Praying Properly, How to Tap Into the Power of Prayer. Hey guys, I gotta go. Whenever you write or call, would you give us the call letters of this great station? Where you hear Key Life and what other thing? Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.